blessed once again to stand here at the sacred desk.
Yes.
And I always call it that because I think this is an awesome place
to stand
between God's people and God. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
So without any further delay, we've been on a good trend here in the recent days. I want to thank God for everything he is doing.
Yes.
Look around, we can see his hand in so many things.
All right.
And you always know you're on a good track when you see the devil doing working progressively to try to stop you from what you're doing. And we've seen that too. So
Amen. We
see both sides of the situation. So today we're going to go right ahead as we continue in the spirit to take a look at the topic here that I think will prove to be a blessing to you. I want to say again, just from the pastor, a formal welcome to any visitors who are here today.
Yes,
we're thankful that you're here. Amen. And we hope you decide to choose St. Timothy to be your church home.
That's how
thankful we are.
Amen.
Amen. Because we're here to give you a good word from the Lord and support you in every other earthly, physical,
possible way we can.
Amen.
Amen.
And so we're blessed to have you with us today. So without any further delay, we'll go right ahead because this is really a great topic we want to talk about. We were talking about it in our new members class this morning.
All right.
And so I had told them I didn't want to tell them everything because we got some more coming in the message today.
Yeah.
Amen. So I want you to join me in reading in the book of Isaiah.
Uh-huh.
The founding pastor of this church used to call it the Gospel of Isaiah.
Yeah.
Amen. I agree because I see as much gospel in Isaiah as I do in Matthew or Mark or Luke or John.
Amen.
So we're going to go to the Gospel of Isaiah. Somebody technical might rebuke me for that, but that's okay. I believe it because it's true. The gospel is a good thing, the good news from God. We're going to go to chapter 30 in case you don't have a handout, and we're going to be looking at verse number 18, verses 18 to 21 from the Old Covenant, the book of Isaiah. From the prophets is the actual designation. He is one of the major prophets, as he is called, based on the volume of his writing, the number of books or words within the volume. And we're going to look at 30, verses 18 to 21. Then I want you to put a bookmark in Little John, as we call it around here. You'll get used to that if you're here. We call the Gospel of John Big John. And in 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, that's Little John getting back there in the back. Okay, just a little St. Timothy in-house designation. So we're going to be in Little John 1, or 1 John chapter 1, actually chapter 2, I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 on down to about 25. So if you want to put a bookmark there, I guess y'all don't do that no more with the electronic Bibles and all that, but you can get around there pretty quick. We're going to go Isaiah 30 and 18 right now. Let us read. And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion and Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, and ye turn to the right, and turn to the left. Okay, so either way you turn, this is going to hear a voice from behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Amen. God's talking about leading his people. Amen. All right, now you're going to see the teachers in front of you. We'll get back to that. But you'll hear a voice from behind you. All right, now, we'll get back to that. Just put a pen right there. 1 John 2:18, Little John, as we say, 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard,
the Antichrist shall come.
Even now,
there are many Antichrists. Whereby we know that we
They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have have continued with us, but they went out, that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and there is no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he who acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. You may be seated in the sanctuary in the presence of the Lord. May God bless the reading and the hearing and the doing of his holy word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just hearing the word. I heard one minister say, when you read the word of God like that, even if your message stinks, the people have heard the word of God.
Amen.
So even if you're lousy, he said, they heard the word of God. That's enough. The word of God is enough to bless you throughout the rest of your day. Amen. I'm going to try not to have my message stink now. I'm going to go ahead and back up and say that. But even if it does, even if you are not on point, you heard God's word. Amen. So always read the word. That's a very important part. So I want to talk just a little today briefly on spiritual intuition, the gift of God to heal the fallen world. Spiritual intuition. That word intuition might be a $2 word or something there, maybe. And it just means having the aptitude or the attitude. It's an intuition, kind of a sensory kind of a word that says that you have something that the Spirit provides to you to give you insight into some things someone else may not have. Sometimes they talk about a mother's intuition. She kind of knows what's going on with a child with nothing being said because she has a sense of how that child is. Or she understands how you normally are. She can read some stuff about you that's not necessarily spoken or visible. Or someone else might overlook who doesn't know you so well. See, so intuition is kind of a gift where you can kind of see something that's really may not be evident on the surface, but it's somewhere tucked down in there. Sometimes old school folks used to call it mother wit.
Mother wit.
Mother know what's up with you. You can't come in and fool mother. She knows something ain't right. Either she tell you done something wrong, or she knows she has an intuition about what you are and who you are and what you're doing. Sometimes she can see right through your little scam. You might have a scam going on. You're trying to get something going that you shouldn't be doing. Mother knows. Lots of times you can't trick. It's like the old commercial. You say you can't fool Mother Nature, which is of course a bad commercial, but in either case, that's what we're talking about, that insight to see something, to have an intuition, an ability given to you by God, which is a gift of God that he gives to people who do believe in him. If you are a believer, you have intuition from God. God has given you a special sense of looking at things, at being able to judge things. Not that we're saying we're in judgment over anybody or nothing, but in other words, we can discern a situation from a spiritual standpoint. We can look at something and we understand some things that people who are involved in a particular thing may not understand. And even within the church, within the body of believers, sometimes a believer can have some insight into something going on in your life and you may not catch it.
All right.
But that's why God wants us to collectively get together. We were talking about that in the new member class this morning. And that's why we are important to one another.
That's it.
Somebody wrote that song, "You Need Me, I Need You."
Yeah.
We're all a part of God's body. Well, that's true in the sense that we are the body of Christ.
Yeah.
We are the physical, living part of what God is doing in the world. If God wants somebody to be fed, he can use your hands or your dollars in your pocket to feed them. If you're his child. If God wants somebody to be comforted, he can use your attitude and your hug and whatever it is that you give them at the time they need comfort to comfort them. So God uses us physically. That's why I like the metaphor, the body of Christ. We touched on that a little this morning. See, God's fingers, his hands, his eyes, his heart, all of what God would do physically in the world, he does through his church.
Amen.
So you are a part of God's body in that sense. That's why we are the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Every part of a body, and we mentioned this too this morning, has a different function.
Come on.
Some of them seem less glamorous, like what would an eyelash look like, you know, compared to an eyeball, for example. Even if you get an eyelash in your eyeball, that's a problem, and you have a problem there, just to use that metaphorically. But some parts seem less glamorous and less useful, but they're all really very important. What happens when a ball of dust is coming in and the eyelash catches it to keep it from getting in the eye? You see what I'm saying? And so that's what the eyelash is there for, to kind of protect the eyeball. And so both of them are equally important, although one may seem more significant than another. And so every part of the body is important. There is no unimportant part of the body. If you trust and believe in Jesus Christ, it's because God gave you the understanding that you needed at the time when the gospel came to your attention. He woke you up out of the dead. We mentioned that in the class this morning. The Bible in Ephesians 2 says that we were all dead in our trespasses and sin. And at the proper time when the church administered the gospel to you, however that happened, could have been your mother telling you what Jesus did for you. Could have been somebody in the street. Could have been a preacher, a Sunday school teacher at your church. Somebody helped you understand what God did for you when he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to be crucified for you. And that sounds brutal, and it is. But when you understood why he was crucified, when you understood that he was paying the penalty, receiving the punishment for me and for all my sin on that cross, and that he was forsaken by his own father hanging there on the tree, when you got that message and it came into you while you were dead in your trespasses and sin, and you realize he took death upon him, the Bible says it this way. It says he tasted death for every man, and he did that in order that he might pay our bill, our sin bill. And so he was doing a significant thing. Somebody explained that to you one day, and when you got that revelation that not only was he crucified, wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquity, chastised for your peace, that by his stripes you were healed, but he was also laid in a grave that he borrowed. I always like to say this, and it's something that might stick with you. On one end of life, he borrowed a womb.
Yeah.
On the other end, he borrowed a tomb.
Yeah.
And he went in the tomb for 3 days and three nights.
All right.
And he got up with all authority and all power, showing and proving to the whole world for all of time that there is one certain person who has the solution to the penalty for sin, which is death, and his name is Jesus.
All right.
He's the only one that has done that.
Yeah.
There isn't anyone else who has that authority, that power, or that ability. The scripture says the wages for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Jesus came in, he tangled with death, which still remains to be a problem in the world for everyone, every human being. But he tangled with death at a moment in time in history past and got up out the grave victorious. So the resurrection is an integral part of what Jesus did. A lot of people said, oh well, and if you misunderstand that, then you need to understand the gospel. It's good news that God did this, and he did it to put him on display for the whole world, so that those who believe in him will have everlasting life. He's letting you know that no matter what happens, no matter how ugly things get in this life, and we know this just from looking at our own personal history, that life comes to an end at the graveyard.
Yes, it does.
You see? And when it does, Jesus said, that's not all.
All right.
Not all.
After that, there is another life.
Yes.
I have gotten up out of that grave. Yes. I've defeated that situation so that you can live your life not looking for imminent destruction and going out of existence.
Right.
You can live your life knowing that I have the solution for the last problem that man has.
Come on now.
Which is death. I've gotten up and defeated the death in the grave.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the body of the gospel is, that information. The fact that God became flesh, came out of eternity, took on a body of flesh just like you and I have, walked in the world for 33 and a half years, was crucified, found guilty, put to death on the cross, laid in a borrowed tomb for 3 days and nights, and got up with all power and all authority in his hand 3 days later. See, even though he was Almighty God, he was was misjudged. He was found guilty. Mm-hmm. The creator of the universe was found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
By men, common men like me and you.
My Lord.
Everyday people, as Sly would have said, perhaps. Found him guilty.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sent him to capital punishment. Crucified him on a tree.
My Lord.
Scandalized and disgraced him before doing all that.
Yeah.
And he took all that.
Yeah.
And he did that for me and you.
Yeah.
In order that he might receive the penalty that we deserve.
Yes.
Now that's what we call the gospel. Now let's say, how did that get connected to this message, Pastor? Well, it's like this. When you heard about that,
mm-hmm.
it was the Holy Spirit who gave you the revelation and the understanding of why that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you hear a story like that, even if it happened to somebody today, you hear of a hideous story, you go, well, how did that happen? You want to know, how did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so God knows how people are.
Yes.
He empowered the church. He only trained 12. One of them deceived him and then betrayed him.
Mm-hmm.
You see, didn't really deceive him. Let's say he betrayed him.
Mm-hmm.
And he called Paul and added him back to the number. And he commissioned us, the church.
Mm-hmm.
Understand how important you are as a believer in God.
Mm-hmm.
You have the knowledge to dispense to the world that governments are not responsible for.
All
and they're not required to do it.
All right.
It's not their job, it's our job.
Yes.
To go out and approach dying men and sinking women,
mm-hmm.
tell them that the wages for sin is death,
yeah.
but the gift of God is eternal life,
yeah.
through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yeah.
And God has given you some good backup information. You know why? Because he centered the world around Jesus.
Come on now.
This world is counting time every second based on Jesus.
Yeah.
Has been all my life.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking on that note, let me say, all my life, 61 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I didn't know you were that old. But all that time,
yeah.
it's been counted based on when Jesus was
all
born.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Take your age and put it in that equation there. You'll see, every second you've been in the world,
yeah.
a clock has been ticking off seconds based on when Christ Jesus was born. So around the globe is 2017 years ago approximately, Jesus was born.
Yes.
See? So it's not like we're talking about some myth or some fantasy or anything. The clock is ticking off seconds based on when Jesus was born. And everybody's birth certificate, every legal document, everything anybody signs, your clock at the work when you clock in, y'all say, don't talk about that, Pastor, that's taboo. It's Sunday morning. In either case, everything is based on when Christ was born.
Yes.
See? And so if people want to tell you something else is God, don't believe it. That's all I want to say to you. But at some moment when you got that information, this is what the scripture teaches us. The Holy Spirit was there. When you were unbelieving, he was there. Somebody explained it to you like I just did, and you said, I believe that, and I need that. And you desired it. He gave you faith.
All right.
The Bible says faith comes by hearing.
All right.
When that message was heard, you said, oh, I really need that. I need to be saved. I don't want to be cast out with the world that does not believe. You know, there are only two groups in the whole world. We talked about this morning.
Amen.
That's the believers and the unbelievers. Man wants to divide up 49 different groups, 4,000 religions, all that. Jesus said, there are two. You trust me or you don't.
Amen.
Now you're in one group or the other. You believe in me or you don't. Whatever you want to call it, go ahead, call it that, but you don't. If you say something else can save you, you don't. If you say, I only trust you, Christ, and you alone, you are saved. That's what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, he's not closing the door on anybody. No matter who you are, where you are, how you were born, what circumstances you were born under, what somebody else told you, when you hear the truth from God, if you believe him, the Bible says you shall be saved. So Jesus is dividing the world into two groups. People are in one group or the other. There's only two places you can be on earth. You're either with God or you're against him. Matthew 12:30 says, he who is not with me is against me. And he who is not gathering with me, in other words, telling this story to other people.
Because
God wants the world to be saved.
Amen.
He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then he said that whosoever believes in him, we're not closing the door on them.
Amen.
If they shut the door and walk out on us, that's them. But we're telling them God loves you.
Yes.
No matter what you're dealing with. No matter what you have done. No matter how ugly it was. No matter what habits and stuff in your life that's wrong. It doesn't make a difference. It's not based on behavior. It's based on your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that he paid your bill entirely. And when you trust him, you don't owe God anything anymore as far as sin is concerned. And then what happens is you become a disciple.
All right.
This is what I want to do. I'm going to move from the disciple. Let me back up one notch. It was the Holy Spirit who caused you to accept Jesus,
right,
to be your Savior.
All right.
The Holy Spirit gave you faith when you heard the word.
Yeah.
He convicts the world. Jesus said when the Spirit of truth has come in Big John 16, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Yeah.
Sin because they believe not on me. That's the only sin you can commit and go to hell.
It's
to fail to believe in Jesus Christ that he is the Lord.
Yeah.
Sin because they believe not on me.
Mm-hmm.
He says righteousness because I go to the Father.
Yes.
That's how you know what he did work, because he got out the grave after man had done everything he could and he went and sat down at the right hand of God.
Right.
Perfectly holy. Would God accept him if he was a failure? No. So he came in the flesh, dwelt in a body just like me and you, went through everything we went through. He was born. Not like Adam. Adam was created.
Yeah.
But Jesus was born.
Yeah.
That's why he was the only begotten Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Adam was created Son of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was born the Son of God.
Yeah.
And so he went through a full life coming out of a womb after 9 months.
Yeah.
But attached to a placenta, connected to his mother, had an umbilical cord that had to be cut like every baby.
Yeah.
See, went through this whole life, raised up at Mary's breasts and fed and brought up in her household.
Yeah.
Lived a normal life just like all of us had to.
Right.
And then at the right time when he was the age the law said he had to be, which was the age of 30, he began to be a priest. That's when he began to be a priest. So for the last 3.5 years of his life, he was the great high priest.
Yes.
The priest after the order of Melchizedek.
Yes.
And he went and he ministered to everyone, healing the sick, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind.
Yes.
Doing all kinds of things, reversing all the problems with sin. Sin creates a lot of problems in the world. The fall of man was a devastating thing. The issues of the fall of mankind, known as original sin, has deeply impacted every facet of humanity to the core of each and every individual so completely that God, being perfectly holy, had to separate from man.
Yes.
God was perfectly holy. When Adam, that one little bit of sin they did, we talked about this a little, they didn't go and kill anybody, they didn't lie. You know what they did? They ate a piece of fruit. But it was forbidden.
Yeah.
The fruit was holy. There was nothing wrong with the fruit.
Yeah.
Everything God made was holy.
Right.
But he said, you shall not eat of this tree. You can eat all the rest of these. God knows how many there were. I think I might have been hanging out over by the coconuts or the pineapples or something. You see what I'm saying? But the devil came in and said, oh, what about that one he said don't mess with? Let's go to that one. And he went there. We talked about that this morning. Until he could get you to disobey what God said. And so it was not the fruit.
Right.
It was the disobedience. And because of that, that infection got into the human family, and we're deeply affected all the way to the core of our being. That's the sad fact about original sin.
Amen.
And so God is perfectly holy, so he separated from man, but he prophesied that he has a plan for the ones who believe in him by faith in order that he might show mercy rather than show his wrath. God doesn't want to bring wrath on anybody. Think about his purpose. He made man to have dominion over everything he made.
Yes, he did.
What a gift.
Amen.
What a gift. Look at all the stuff still coming out the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You got people so greedy now, folks are starving while other folks are living high on the hog.
Come on.
Because that's how the fall of sin got into people's life and made people greedy and all the stuff that we see. And so basically it impacts you in ways that we might not even think about. But the good thing is when Jesus saves you, all of that is covered, no matter what it is.
Amen.
No matter what deviations from what God made that you happen to be dealing with, it's covered.
Thank you.
And he did it so he can bring you to an understanding of what is good and what's right and what's acceptable, so you can be a better man or woman than you are now.
Yes.
And so God wants to show you his mercy, not his wrath. Why? Because what do you think his impetus was when he made Adam? He wasn't mad at him, was he?
No.
He loved him. He loved him. I love you. You are the pinnacle of my creation. I'm going to put you in here and give you all of this. See? And then he said, I'm going to give you a mate so you can be fulfilled.
Yes.
And complete. You know what, I told you to do something, you can't even do it because I haven't given you a mate. You have no way to reproduce yourself. So he made a woman, and he brought her to him. What a beautiful scene.
Amen.
And then once the sin comes in, downhill from there all the way up till now. And so that's what we need to see. But that's how it is. That's where there are only two groups: people who trust God and believe that he provided because he loves you. He never changes. This is one fact about God I always like to emphasize. God is immutable, the theologians say. That means that he cannot be mutated or changed. So he loved man to start with. Guess what he does today? He loves you. He never changed. Who changed?
We did.
We did. So who needs to be straightened out? We do.
We do.
Who could fix it? Nobody but Jesus. So God himself, knowing we had no hope, sent his own son. And what happened? The fall of man and the evil nature that man had caused him to execute God's son. Put him to death on a tree. That's humiliating, even today.
Yes.
They stripped him naked, beat him, flogged him, spit on him, ripped out his beard, nailed him to a cross after he had carried a heavy cross, after being whipped and beaten all night long, up to the hill. Then they nailed him to it. Some people die before they get to Calvary. That's just too much. But you know what? The other criminals that were going up there with him, they had an easy day because Jesus was the one that the focus was put on. Nobody was cared about them. They knew these are some rotten thieves and murderers here, you know. But the emphasis was on Christ. They had a better day because he was there that particular day.
That's right.
But in either case, he was there suffering the penalty of death so that he could give you and I eternal life. Because God already knew how ugly sin would be and what it would do. You see? Now, and I want you to see the prophecies of God tell us how this spiritual intuition, which is the gift of God to heal the fallen world, was announced by God here in Isaiah 30 and verse 18. And therefore, he says, will the Lord wait that he may be gracious? See, God always wants to be gracious. He doesn't want to be judgmental. He doesn't want to hurt you. Because he could have done that. You know, I'm glad he didn't get me while I was being completely sinful and not thinking about it.
Amen.
He could have just said, oh, enough of that, boy. No more of that. Let's get rid of him. But he didn't do that. He gave me space and time because he wants to be gracious and merciful to me. And therefore, he will be exalted, this is Isaiah 30, 18, that he may have mercy upon us. Now, you know, grace and mercy are two sides of the same coin, so to speak. Mercy is when I don't give you what you ought to get. We've been like that, some of us parents. Boy, I ought to really smite you for that one, buddy. But I'm going to let you slide. That's mercy. And then grace is, I'm going to give you an ice cream cone anyway, even though you don't deserve it. See, even though you did wrong, I'm going to correct you, but I'm going to cut you some slack. And then we also give a warning. That's kind of what the word does. The warning is, don't you ever do it again. Or I'm going to smite you next time. You see, but we let them slide. That's mercy. Grace is, okay, you've been okay for 10 minutes. Let me give you an ice cream cone on top of that. And so God is merciful.
Yes, he is.
The Lord God is of judgment. He says, and blessed are all they that wait for him. It's always a good thing to wait upon the Lord. Later on, Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Right.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God gives us time to get our act together. But he gives us warning, too, along the way. Notice verse 19, Isaiah 30 and 19. For the people shall dwell in Zion and Jerusalem, and thou shalt weep no more. You know, he says that prophecy in Revelation, he's going to wipe every tear from your eyes. How much stuff has made you cry in your life? There's stuff right now, you might be on the edge of tears if you think about it. But he will be gracious, very, notice it says in verse 19, he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. See, God is already in the middle of your drama, whatever it is that's bringing you to tears. And he said, I want to wipe away your tears and let you know it's all right. I'm your father. You can lean up on my shoulder. I'm here to hug you and embrace you and take you through. And I want you to do right and do better. And I believe you can. I'm holding out hope for you. Okay, and then notice this, verse 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, that's a little like where you might put somebody on punishment, and the water of affliction, you're going to go through a little bit, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. I'm going to keep teaching you no matter what you're going through. You may be going through something because you need a little encouragement to do the right thing. But I'm going to keep teaching you. That's why I say when people leave the church, now you're mad at the church about something. Don't do that.
Yes.
You got an issue going on. God loves you. He's trying to teach you, train you to get you out of a situation.
Yes.
He's trying to fix something that's broke. Mm-hmm. And going away from his word, that's the worst thing you can do. When you mess up and you've done something wrong, run to the church.
Amen.
Get in there and confess your faults.
Because yes.
You know what? Everybody else, you might be thinking, everybody else is holy and I'm the only one struggling with sin. No, you're not. Everybody in here needs to be here every time the word is open.
All right.
You know, we need to be in here. We got issues.
Come on, man.
God is saying, come on in, let me teach you.
Yeah.
You see, and you might be going through some adversity. You really brought it up on yourself. I was trying to tell you how to be blessed. You wouldn't listen sometimes. Notice verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word from behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in. See, when God gives you that intuition, I'm going to tell you what to do, but you need to be still long enough to hear it. You need to listen. I'm talking to you all the time. I'm telling you what to do, how to get it fixed, how to get it right. See that? And he says, when you hear that voice coming from behind you, you shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, no matter how you turn, God says, I'm going to be with you. Whatever choice you make, whether it's this way or that way. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, he says. See, keep on listening for God, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, no matter what you choose. So this is what I wanted you to know. This spiritual intuition that God gives is for healing the fallen world. It's, I need to be healed.
Yeah.
I got stuff needs to be fixed. Got stuff that's below the standard it should be. Don't believe me, ask my wife. She'll tell you. I have issues. I'm working on it. I'm trying to get better.
Don't we all?
And at that point, let me mention, we're having that meeting. Our ninth anniversary will be coming up on October 11th. And we've been married for that 9 years. And God has blessed us. And it's been a very interesting, let me say, time, because she is a kind of a powerful woman in so many ways.
Amen.
And my life was extremely complicated in so many ways. And so for God to bring that together, sometimes there's a little turbulence there. And we see it, but we know he did it. Because when we look at how it happened, it had to be God. There's no other way.
Come on.
Had to be the Lord. Just had to be. We'll tell you all that story another day. But I just wanted to say.
My testimony now.
I just wanted to say. So anyway, moving on. Back on point here. Here we go. 1 John 2:18. Little children. See, that's how God's looking at us. We're his little kids. We're his children. It is the last time. And as you've heard, Antichrist shall come.
Yes, he will.
Even now there are many antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time.
Yes.
See, look at all the stuff opposing the truth of God.
Yes.
One thing I have to stop here and put a pin. I'm going to try to get done here shortly. I know y'all thinking about the biscuits and the potatoes and all that. But let me say this. At this point, have you ever heard of an anti-God? Anybody? No. Folks, but why do people want to diss Jesus? What there is an antichrist.
That's what it is.
That's because the Christ is the thing that's important.
Right.
You can talk about God to no end. Everybody on earth is talking about God.
Yeah.
But they're not saved unless they're talking about Jesus. Because Jesus is the Savior.
Amen.
And the devil is opposing Christ. He's not opposing. But God, Christ is God. I don't want to go on record with that.
Amen.
But there is an anti-Christ. You will not find an anti-God.
No, I'm not.
in there, because you can talk about God, nobody's offended. The minute you mention Jesus, that's when the war starts.
Come on now.
And that divides who's saved and who's lost.
Yeah.
It's what do you think about Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Whose son is he? He asked the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?
Amen.
Is he God's son? And to say he's the son, sometimes people are willing to say, oh yeah, he's God's son, but he's not God. But he says, I am my father, or one. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. And didn't he say that? Look what John says here. Reading on, verse 19. They went out from us. Some people left from us. But they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have stayed or continued with us. See that? But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Some people come among you and then they don't come back. They were not really saved to start with. They hang around till it gets tough. Jesus explained that in the parable of the sower. We won't talk about that this today. But there are some people, the seed falls in different places and has different effects. But everyone that it produces fruit, 30, 60, and 100 are the ones who are saved. He says, but you have an unction. That's that intuition that I talked to you about. From the Holy One. That's God the Father. And you know all things. God the Father has provided the Holy Spirit for every one of us who believe that he raised his son from the dead, or who are leaning on Christ totally, who put all their trust in Jesus because he is who God provided. He is the only mediator between God and man. Without him, you can do nothing, the Bible says. And if you're trusting him like that, where I'm leaning on you so hard, Jesus, if you move, I'm going to fall because I don't have nothing else holding me up. You got to lean on him. Trust him.
Yeah.
See, God wants you to do that. And if you do, I will save you. God is saying, lean on Jesus completely. We sing that song, Lean on Me. I'm thinking about Jesus when I sing it. I don't know where your mind is. You have an unction from the Holy One. He says, I have not written to you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. But who is the liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?
Right.
He is Antichrist. He denieth the Father and the Son. See that?
Yeah.
You want to get Jesus out, you throwing the Father out.
Yeah.
Right along with him, because you cannot have an audience with the Father without the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same has not the Father. People want to say, oh, I'm going straight to the Father. I don't need Jesus. No, you're not going to the Father. Going to the Father of death and destruction.
That's where you're going.
But he that acknowledgeth the Son has the Father also. Mm-hmm. See that? Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning, ye shall remain in you. Then ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. So the prophecies of the gift of the Holy Spirit, whom God has made famous, having spoken of it through the prophets such as Isaiah that we looked at, is truly a marvelous promise, because in them, through the prophets, God has revealed that it is his desire to teach the fallen ones in a supernatural way, which is the basis of the relationship which he has called eternal life. You know, eternal life is not an amount of time.
All right.
It's a relationship with God.
Yes.
John 17:3. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Mark that down if you want a definition for eternal life. Mark John 17:3. Big John 17:3. But this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That's a relationship. It's not an amount of time. Everybody's going to be around for all the time that there will be. And there's coming a time when time won't be anymore. So you either are with Christ and you have that relationship with God the Father through him, or you don't. So God has summarized and defined his relationship to the church so that she may be motivated to go out into the world and broadcast the best news in the world, that there is mercy enough available for everyone who places all their trust in God the Son, Jesus the Christ. So that's our privilege.
Yes.
That's a high privilege.
Amen.
God has said, whosoever, it doesn't make any difference. This is the reason why when you see me react, somebody can be, what by the world standard, they might be pretty awful. Somebody might look at them and go, oh boy, that person looks awful. because they're homeless or they're drunk or they're on drugs or they're twisted some kind of way or whatever. It doesn't make a difference.
Amen.
God loves them just as much as he does the freshest, cleanest, most well-dressed person on earth. So when I see people in any kind of state, I know God could get you from there. Like the psalmist said, he lifted my feet up out of the miry clay.
Yes.
And he set me up on a rock.
Yes.
See, he can do that to anybody.
Yes.
Doesn't make any difference how whacked or messed up they might be. And it's not our job. You know what he told my brothers? I'm going to call them my brothers because he said that, he called, who was it, James and John? He said because they were fishers.
Amen.
He told them to follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.
Okay.
Yeah. You've been fishing for fish. Y'all didn't know them was my brothers. See, I taught y'all to follow me. Those are my brothers. They were fishers. It says right in the Bible. Okay. So we get the privilege to go out and call them in. And it's not our job to clean them. It's our job to catch them. You catch the fish. God said, I'll clean them. You catch them, I'll clean them. So I'm going to go get them when they say they love Jesus. I'm going to love them back. And keep loving them and let him clean them. That's what works. Because I remember how filthy I was when I got saved. Wasn't filthy physically necessarily, but I was filthy internally. Mine wasn't right. It's a lot cleaner now, not completely clean now. You'd be surprised all the stuff you have to deal with in life.
Yeah.
And the world is getting more and more provocative.
Yeah.
And it's putting stuff in your face now.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be stuff that was put away and wasn't allowed in the public.
Yeah.
Now it's in your face everywhere you look. And it's getting to your kids, coming right in your house on the phone. Stuff you would never allow to come through the door is coming through your house through the air. By the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. They have a pipeline directly into your house or into your kid's life. So we have to be extra careful. This is that time. I want to ask everyone to stand, and y'all accept my apology for being a little lengthy today, but I wanted you to understand where we are. And God loves us no matter who we are. He wants you to be a part of the church. We want you to be a part of the church. It's the best thing that I'm a part of is the church. Amen. Love the church because God does.
Yeah.
And if you're here today and you're not saved, let me ask you, just pray right now. God will accept you. He has no problem accepting you if you believe in the name of his son, Jesus. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we praise you. We bless you. We exalt your name. Father, we have come today knowing that we have sinned and broken your law, but that you have given your son and you allowed him to be mutilated and marred beyond recognition. Isaiah said, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Because he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. And Father, we know that happened because you allowed it, because you love us so much.
Yes.
You allowed him to suffer the death of the cross and the humiliation and the disgrace in order that you might give us eternal life. And you raised Jesus out the grave to let us know that even though he had been marred beyond recognition, that he was your son, the Holy One that started off with you in the beginning. You said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so, Father, we believe that you raised him out the grave and in order to save us. And that because of his work alone, we can be declared clean in your sight. And so save us today, Father. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. You promised to seal us with the Spirit for the day of redemption. And that you promised to finish the good work that you started. Until the day of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, today, save somebody in the room. Save somebody who hears this message online or wherever they hear it, Lord. Let them be saved if they have accepted the gift. And, Father, we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, majesty, dominion, and power now and forevermore. The church said together,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Also, we have an invitation at this time. We want to give you opportunity to unite with us. At St. Timothy, our duty is pretty clear. I hope I was very clear. That's what we're planning to do, is attach and go out into the world and teach. Like he said, that's the duty of the church throughout the ages. If you would like to join us in that, we would like to have you be a part of our force, if you will. So we want to invite you to be a member. of St. Timothy MB Church. If you'd like to do that, you may come at this time. Amen. We have open arms to receive you, and we will help you with your discipleship and whatever else we can, whatever you need help with. We invite you to come at this time. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We give you that opportunity. Amen. All right. We have done as God commands. And we see that there are none. We hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen.